Hi, and welcome to Prosody, 90.5 FM's weekly show featuring the work of poets and writers. I'm Jan Beatty, and my guest today is the poet A.M. Brandt. A.M. Brandt is a current MFA candidate at the University of Pittsburgh. She is also a member of the Mad Women in the Attic Writing Workshops, a sometimes staff member of Hot Metal Bridge, and originally from Indiana, where she worked on Southern Indiana Review. Her work has appeared in Sawbuck, Rhino, and is forthcoming in Ninth Letter. Her poems have recently been nominated for a Pushcart Prize. Hi, Amanda. How you doing?
All right. How are you?
Okay. So your writing name is A.M. Brandt.
Yeah, that's what I publish under.
Your publishing name and your what you go by is Amanda.
Yes.
Just so people know what we're up to here. So can you start with some poems?
Sure.
Okay.
Instead of this, I make meatloaf, knead yellow yolks in, and peel potatoes. At dinner, we watch Jeopardy, and my husband yells out wrong answers. The kids think he's funny and doing it on purpose. He smiles at me, and two of his teeth are missing on the left near the front. I don't care. I know that he got them knocked out when he was 17 and carried them home in his hand, and he's never gotten it fixed because his parents couldn't afford to, and neither can we. I remember after it happened, he said it was okay if I didn't want to kiss him, said he understood there are some things you can't make yourself do. There are moments that have yet to happen, where I am standing in a field in Missouri, or you are shirtless in the kitchen, or working on a car in the driveway with black wrists and a smile, a can of beer balancing. My parents raised us to be women. Lock the doors. Hold your sister's hand. Go to bed. Don't talk to strangers, especially men. If you put your arm out the window of a moving vehicle, it will be torn from your body. If it's expired, you will get food poisoning. People die from. Look both ways before. Listen to me, because he will try to rape you. Be careful. You'll burn yourself. You're too young to. You just can't trust them. Tell me if someone, what do you do if? Because he will reach into your private parts and hurt you. Because I said so. People die from. Bad things happen to little girls. Don't ever do that again. It's dangerous. He will ask you to touch him. These kinds of things happen every day. Don't run with that in your mouth. Carry them face down. Scream fire instead. People don't listen to help anymore. I'm only telling you the truth. Every day. I won't always be there to say no. People die. What is fair? To tell a child, you will never have what you want. You will hate your body, what it wants you to do. We are going to die. How my mother held her hips up after sex. How my sister did not. But still, a child came. Someone told me hope is the most fragile emotion you can allow yourself to feel. Accident. What if they can't find them all, those parts of me in the middle of the road, carelessly flung into the back seat, quietly landing on the roadside where deer lie with broken backs?
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Prosody. I'm Jan Beatty, and my guest today is the poet A.M. Brandt, and she's reading some of her new poems. I wanted to ask you, Amanda, about the shape and form of your poems. I mean, I happen to know that a lot of your poems are prose poems in the shape of a block or almost paragraph-like. Can you talk about your commitment to the prose poem, if you have one, or how this sort of happens with your work?
I think that I started to write prose poetry maybe 2 years ago, Before that, I'd never really written any prose poems, but I've fallen into it, I think, mostly because I became really interested in how punctuation seemed to fall out of my poems near the middle. So I decided to see what would happen if I got rid of the line, too.
What do you mean near the middle?
Like in the middle of the poem, I would have lines, and just by the second stanza, I wouldn't anymore, or the punctuation would just not be traditional.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to see what would happen if I got rid of the lines, and I ended up really liking the way prose poetry felt with what I write about.
Okay, can you just say more about that? I mean, how does prose poetry feel in relation to your content?
I think more so about things that are sort of dysfunctional to me or that feel dysfunctional. May not be to other people, but they are to me. And I think that the prose poem fits better with not having as many rules or not feeling like it has as many rules to me when I'm writing.
Mm-hmm. For the audience out there, listening audience, a prose poem, I guess, there's that question of what is a prose poem? How would you define it?
I don't know. I've actually recently started submitting my work under Flash Fiction as well. And I haven't been accepted anywhere yet, but I have friends who write fiction that say that I am writing fiction.
Okay, I disagree with them.
Okay.
Okay, let's go back to the prose poem, which, let me take a stab at it, would be, poetry written in the form of a block or almost a paragraph, but it is very different in my mind from fiction or prose in that, sometimes it may be because of compression of language, sometimes it may be because of imagery that, is so essential in a lot of poetry. And always there's an exception. You could always say that, in fiction, there's some very compressed language. In some fiction, there's a lot of imagery. But yet, I really believe that you can feel the difference between a prose poem and a piece of flash fiction. We should talk about that.
I think so.
Yeah. And often the prose poem, I feel like, is often more self-contained than a flash fiction. Might be part of a story. It might try to be an entire story, but you know how those fiction writers act. they have people going from room to room and doing all kinds of different things, and often that doesn't happen in a poem. I mean, granted, that's a very loose and problematic definition, but
I think you're right. So.
You just don't want to talk about it. But anyway, I liked what you said about the freedom to move in a prose poem and how that relates to what you see as the dysfunction in some of your work. Could you read a couple more poems?
Sure. To notify in case. Fingers are easily lost. No one thinks to save them with screaming so loud you can hear it over the machines. You can't hear anything over the machines. There will be a safety crew to help if you are injured. There will be an emergency stop button if the machine grips you by a loose sleeve. It will not swallow you. Your body will make it stop. Would you? I want to talk about blood art and infomercials, folk music, and did you know that rabbits scream? Did you read about the 250 million butterflies that froze to death in Mexico? I want to talk about harmonicas and lotus birth, the way your teeth fit into your mouth. Did you read how the Army has admitted to dumping 64 million pounds of nerve and mustard agents into the sea? How hundreds of dolphins washed ashore in Virginia, in New Jersey, with burns on their bodies? How many do you think were too weak to surface and drowned, caught in nets and crushed to bits? Can we talk about silkworms and hand-woven baskets, that sunlight like a bruise on your face? Did you read about the philosopher in St. Louis who wants to genetically alter factory-farmed animals' pain receptors so they won't feel easy as switching off a light? I want to talk about blood and sperm and food banks, cat's cradle and grandfather clocks, salt lamps, the Smith crater. Do you know about mercury or the growth direction of cowlicks? I want to talk about how mastectomies are performed, how to gather from the garden. Did you have chicken pox? Have you heard about the rainforests, all those trees, the air? What causes a pupil to dilate? Do you know that mass fish and bird die-offs are a regular occurrence almost every day, somewhere? I'm sorry about before, after you said what you said, and I said nothing. What about doulas, jellyfish, the whales, their songs, the blood in their brains, from the Navy, from the sounds of sonar underwater? How to float, how to hold your breath. Suicide is an option. Sudden infant death syndrome exists, and birthmarks, and so many lights stay on all night. Listen, we are here with the sky falling. Would you believe me if I told you?
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Prosody. I'm Jan Beatty, and my guest today is the poet A.M. Brandt. I wanted to ask you about the relationship between work, the work of working in a factory, working at different jobs, and the work of writing. I know that there's a big issue of class that comes up in your work. You know, the poem that you just read about the safety crew, the emergency stop button. I mean, these are great details that often don't show up in poems. And can you talk about how, if it's true, how any of your work outside of writing has influenced your poetry?
My work has definitely influenced my poetry. I've worked in a couple of different factories, and while I was running the machines, like while the machines were running, I would write poems next to the machine, or I would like put a poem up on the machine with a magnet and read it as the machine was running. But that's very true. I did work on a machine where the emergency stop button didn't work, and they told me not to worry about it, and it really bothered me.
Wow. What kind of factories are you talking about?
I worked in a window factory, and then I also worked in a faucet factory, but I've worked mostly manual labor jobs my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And it just continues to come up in my work, no matter how much I try not to think about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's great material for poetry. Is that going to be a major theme of the book that you're working on?
I think that it appears more than I had originally thought. It just continues, like I said, it just continues to come up. And it seems to be really closely tied with my background, just from my family.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean, it seems to be? You mean the book or?
I think just work and class issues.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you have some great images in these poems. I mean, in the one poem with the car in it, black wrists, someone working on the car with black wrists, there's always a can of beer, there's always, you know, and there's a lot of reference to, you know, trouble, you know, or can't go to the doctor, can't pay for this, can't do this. And I think we don't have enough poems about that, so I'm really excited that you're doing this.
I'm excited, too.
Okay, good. How close are you to a manuscript, or, I mean, do you have a title, working title, et cetera?
My working title right now is All Night from Indiana.
Nice.
Because I'm from Indiana, so. Mm-hmm.
Nice title.
I hope it stays around. I'm fond of it myself, so.
Okay. And all of these poems that you've read so far are in that manuscript?
Yes. Yeah, this is probably about half of it. I'm nearing the end, but still, it's still very early.
Okay, great. Okay, how about some more?
Sure. Better than me. Of cornfield surrounding, of cheap bread, of hoarding, of the screaming power steering belt on a silver Cutlass Supreme, of lost remote, of praying for luck, of bunk beds, of qualifying for free lunches, of sharing bath water, of fistfights in parking lots, of never eating at the dining room table, of secondhand bathing suits, of third shift in a faucet factory, of frozen Salisbury steak dinner luxury, of garage sales, of head lice, of cat litter scattered and sticking to bare feet, of kerosene heaters, of basement flooding, of Jesus loves me, of burning trash in the yard. Body for body. To go years without being touched, this need of body for body. I worry it is noticeable that my pores, my pheromones, my ovaries, my vulva are trying to use a language bodies know, a pleading with strangers, please touch me. When I see men on the street, at the store, they look at me, sometimes seem to say, I know what you want, some kind of connect or disconnect. These mouths saying, these minds, these brains, this muscle of thought, of knowing, of need. Body speaks loud, says come. So quickly it becomes all we are. So quickly it is all that is left. I am this body, more than this body. And there is the problem, where affection comes, where chemicals come, where oxytocin comes, the bonding problem. Do not touch me. The early warning, if you want to trust him, don't let him hug you. On machine. Fingers are easily lost. I've written this before. Did I tell you how the man fell from the ceiling, straight through the roof, how he came to the concrete below and made a sound like some soft thing being hit? Maybe the sound animals make when they are struck by a car. Machine. Air can cut if it's compressed. He landed on his back, dead quiet, just looking up to where he'd come from, blinking. The sky open and there, visible through the opening his body had made, had fallen through. Father, there was a before cancer. Before you said love every time we left. Before you cried in the hospital bed, some stranger praying over your body. The chest scan showed scarring. Shooting stars aren't really stars. Your chest mapped onto X-ray, black and white, those gray marks, quiet bursts, mini nuclear blasts between rib bones. Your body was not like my father's, was closer to the body of your father's, that body, his body, in the barn, rope taut. Maybe he swayed a little when the door was opened, appeared to be moving when she first screamed. Maybe she didn't scream. Maybe he was motionless. How do they get cancer out? Do they scrape? Is there a tool? Cancer extractor. If one cell is left, does it have to be like an insect, an egg sac left in the body? Or can it be alone? Can it be single? A worm has one stomach. An earthworm does not have a heart, aortic arch. When the light shines, I will hide inside you. What happens to a body when it is hanged? Crowds used to know that lynching, that mob. There was an after, where you are dead, where my father is left uncertain. In the middle of his midlife crisis, he is hunting for deer in the woods, following trails of blood out behind houses.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Prosody. I'm Jan Beatty, and my guest today is the poet A.M. Brandt. And she's reading from her manuscript in progress entitled All Night from Indiana. Sounds good to say that.
I really like it. I hope it sticks.
Nice title. You know, I have to say that I really love the machinery in your poems, all different kinds of machinery, including the cars and the silver Cutlass Supreme. Mm-hmm. Nice.
T-tops.
Really nice. Yeah. I think I have a Cutlass Supreme in one of my poems.
Yeah, it's a horrible memory. I don't.
But it's, yeah, those cars are so great. But, you know, all that, you know, as Lynn Emanuel would say, all that furniture that populates your poetry, all those details really enrich the landscape of those poems and go towards, you know, establishing a world where a lot is at stake. And I always feel that in your poems, that there's so much is important there, and there's an emotional depth that comes from that. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, your writing process, how you get to these poems? Does most of the work happen in revision, most of the forming of the poem and the details come in revision, or are you writing in the factory with writing on, that makes me nervous to think of you writing on the side of a machine, but with the machinery not working, but go ahead.
Well, I don't do that anymore.
Okay, but, good.
Now I tend to write mostly in free thought, like brainstorming type mode. I just let myself write really freely and I don't stop. Like I make myself continue to write and I type. And then I go back. I normally do that in public. Like I'll go to a coffee house and I'll just sit there and I'll let whatever comes. And then when I go home, I'll read through what I've written and pull out lines. And normally the poem is mostly formed at that point. And then I change words. But for the most part, I think the poems are found in the middle of a lot of mostly diary type entries.
Mm-hmm. So you might have 5 pages of notes and then come up with 10 lines of poem? Like that?
It's a lot of writing that I go through. I'll write 20 to 30 pages a week and have 2 poems.
Wow.
Or 2 starts of 2 poems.
2 starts, yeah.
Right.
Well, okay, so the big question is, how do you know in those 5 pages or 10 pages where the poem is? I mean, how do you pull out, how do you know the lines to pull? Is it just a matter of reading it and feeling something, or?
I think that it takes me 2 to 3 pages to really even start to write anything that's what I consider poetry, I guess. And then I am very obsessive and cyclical in the way that I do write, so I always end up writing 1 line on this page and then two pages later. It's like the second line finally comes. So I have to wait for it or something. Hmm. But it's different than how I used to write. But I think that it's working for me. Mm-hmm. I've been doing it for a while now.
That's interesting. So you're saying you're sitting in a coffee shop or something and anything that comes in, and anything at all, you just start writing?
Yes.
I like that willingness to let everything in and then other things start to rise up.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. You know, the poet Jean Valentine has those very spare poems with a lot of white space, and she told me once that she would have like 5 pages of notes, like long lines of prose, to get to those teeny little poems, and I mean that are very powerful. And there's something about what you're saying that reminds me of that process.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's similar.
Yeah,
I'd say.
Yeah. Great. I'm just sitting here thinking what I can steal from you. So, but okay. So I think we have time for a few more poems.
Okay. Tinder. You're too fat to, thighs too thick to, belly butterflied, hinged to your back, breasts leftovers to play with. I've got my mallet. I'm ready to make you good enough to. Ectomy. What is built into back, beyond bone, beyond the being of discs, stacked gills ending low, inside the inside, between back and front and back, there, lower still, lumbar, crowbar, pry the lip, pull inside, outside, under the tree in moon view. Stand up straight. This might hurt.
Do you have any thoughts about the relationship between body and machine in your work, because there's so much of both. I mean, do you often get to moments in your poems when they're interchangeable, you know, body and machine?
I do, very often. I think that I wasn't aware of how interested I am in how things function, and I've really tried to allow myself to explore how machines are sort of like bodies to me, and how bodies have, I think how bodies have always been machines to me, mm-hmm. and how when things break, I just try to fix them.
Mm-hmm.
But
have you written that poem about how bodies have always been like machines?
I don't know if I've written that poem.
I'd like to read that poem. I mean, it seems like it's all through the work, but I wonder what would happen if you wrote that directly. Because mm-hmm. it was really interesting when you just said it.
I should work on it.
Or, you know what might be sort of great is to write an OSHA poem or a, you know.
I thought about that as
Did
well.
You?
Yeah.
Yeah, all those regulations, and especially because they're not being followed, and, mm-hmm. you know, the breakdown of the rules, the breakdown of the machine, the breakdown of the rules, and the breakdown of the body. I mean, it's such a rich thing that you've opened up here.
It's like 50 pages worth of writing right there for 3 or 4 poems.
That's right. Yeah, that would be, I don't know how many days at the coffee shop, but okay. I think we have run out of time, unfortunately, but I want to thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for inviting me.
It's been great. That's been the poetry of A.M. Brandt. You've been listening to Prosody, a weekly show featuring the work of poets and writers. Writers appearing on Prosody also have their work showcased in Chapter and Verse, a biweekly feature in Pittsburgh City Paper, the arts entertainment news weekly published every Wednesday. Prosody is produced by Jan Beatty and Alan Wadey. Our sound engineers are Michelle Stoner and Lisa Alexander. Please tune in at our new time, Saturday mornings at 6:30, for Prosody, 90.5 FM.